Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
It's Thursday, check. I'm sitting in my car by the gate, check. There's a global pandemic going on, check. Well, this must be the Isolating Podcast. You are welcome. You join me. Stuff just happened. You know, I know we've all lowered our expectations to the point where it doesn't take much to happen for you to think, whoa, some stuff just happened. But three things happening quite close to each other. That's something. So firstly, a haze just closed in around the island. So it's like a haze rose from the sea, but also dropped from the sky. And temporarily, the horizon has just disappeared. It's like the world has been wallpapered. Someone's wallpapered over the sun. And as that was happening, a frickin' three-legged dog came in the gate. Are you joking? And it felt like it was in a Led Zeppelin song or something. Three-legged dog. It was sniffing around the wheels of the isolation chamber. And I said hello, and the dog looked up startled like it had never met a human before and bloody tripoded off. And just then, as it exited, Joe the Post came with today's mailbag, which is this postcard. Again, no signature and no idea where it came from. It came from somewhere in Ireland. It's an Irish postal mark, a Christmas stamp left over. It just says Stoat Facts. And then a list of three. Let's just go straight in with Stoat Facts. A group of stoats is called a caravan. Enjoy it. Two, stoats eat hares. What? Really? Don't. I said that a bit loud. You don't know. The window's open. They could be listening. Love you, hares. Love you, guys. Three, stoats can move at up to 20 miles per hour when hunting. Whoa, you don't stand a chance if you're a hare in that sitch. That's a good postcard. Thank you very much for that, stranger. It's mystical. It's a mystical day. And I had a mystical evening last night. I had my most mystical moment of the global pandemic so far. I decided to go off. So I was recording with my father. That's coming up on the podcast. Though I say so myself, it's a huge podcast today. We've got the best ever Jigsaw News, and my dad plays the music for Jigsaw News. And I cycled off to the lair of the hare, the headland just near the house, to watch the sun go down. And it was a good sun last night. Whatever angle the earth is at, the sun was in full big flaming basketball mode, like a dartboard on fire. And it was slowly dunking down into the sea. But as it went down, flame seemed to be rising up out of the ocean as well. Ah, it was so good. So I cycled to where, according to the Department of Heritage website, this is how mystical the vibe was. I'm in a mystical place. I'm watching a mystical thing. And I'm sitting in, I believe there was a prehistoric ring fort or something there. Could it have gone any more mystical? Yes, it could, because on that headland, you can get good 3G. 3G was 2 before 5G, but that's good enough to get music operating on your phone. So I decided to go full mystical, and I chose, there's an Enya banger called Boadicea. That is, Mark, could you play Boadicea by Enya for the rest of this tale? So the head is completely flat grass. There's a few little sandy holes here and there. It's commonage, so it's populated by sheep and hares. I think if you were British, you'd call it a moor. If you were Irish, you would call it an area like a golf course with no golf course on it. And as I'd watched the sun go down while listening to Enya, I sort of hadn't realised, well, it was dark. I'd let it get very, very dark, and I don't have lights. But nonetheless, it's mostly grass. So I'm thinking this should be fine, the cycle back. And I proceed cautiously. And then in the distance, I see headlamps of a car driving out onto the headland. And like, who could it be? And then the moment I think that, like 10 sheep go, because obviously it's a farmer that owns these sheep, and he's received a call from one of the ladies who's obviously having difficulties giving birth. He's just checking, probably. But now I've got a dilemma, because as we move towards Achill Rovers football ground, the headland sort of bottlenecks. So I'm going to have to come quite close to him. And I know I'm going to fucking terrify him, because the last thing he is expecting is a guy in a luminous orange jacket suddenly emerging from the gloom. So I say, well, I'll try not to shock him. So I go round by... But in a way, that's even more frightening, because I would just appear in the distance then. But anyway, he's parked up here, and so I have to move towards him in order to leave the headland and come back home. And I decide I'll call out to him in the least frightening possible voice. And that's hard, because most that, like, oh, if I was to go like that, he could well have a nervous breakdown of some kind. So I opt for this. And in retrospect, this might have been a mistake. Hiya! And he had the window wound down in his car, and he responded with this, "Fuck!" Like that. And yeah, I cycled home. So apologies to, if you're listening, Mr. Farmer. I'm sorry. I didn't know how else to get home, really. He's probably lying with his whole family just over him. He's in a cold bath, just shaking his head. I saw it. Maybe there's an old legend that I don't know about, that 100 years ago, there was a murder on that headland. A man in an orange jacket on a Bianchi cyclocross bike was hit with a pike. It is a huge show. And could you start a huge show in a huger way than with a domestic beef? Now, this is a tricky... The idea of domestic beefs is, I want to know the beefs that you're having, seeing as you're stuck in with members of your family about quite mundane things. This is an interesting domestic beef, because this is a meta domestic beef, where the beef is between this person, well, Pat and Julie, and me, Lord Doddlesworth. Dear David, the sting on your /Mark wrangles his podcast into shape. Domestic beef segment almost gave me a heart attack recently. as when it played the first time, I was locking cows in a field on my farm and it was dark. I was listening on headphones and I heard the mooing sound and thought the cows had broken out and ran around frantically looking for them before eventually realising my mistake. Oh, what can I say? That's stereo for you. Sorry, Pat and Julie, that's today's domestic beef. Mark in Amsterdam writes, Dear Doddles, on the subject of German supermarket pronunciation, and this has been a big topic this week, me with my Lidl, Don Cheadle, Brad Friedel, but then I can't remember who was calling it Lidl, like Billy Idol, or Bridal. My dad, in Dublin, says Lidl's, as in fiddles. On a side note, does everyone's parents pluralise supermarkets? Yes, yes they do. He says Tesco's, Quinsworth's, Dunn's. Yeah, my mum does that. My mum has been known to say Marks and Spencer's. Mark goes on, love the tripod, almost selfishly want the corona thing to never end so we can hear you grow old on Ackle. No one wants that, Mark. You're on your own there. That's a dangerous statement, particularly if you end up becoming head of the WHO and you're just like, yeah, let's just keep going with this for another while. This has been my favourite segment of the week. I'll sing the theme tune for it. Who is your favourite David of all the Davids alive? Do I make the top five? Graham Armstrong, straight in, favourites. Navarro, Dave Navarro, guitarist, numerous bands, Jane's Addiction, whatnot. David O'Doherty, me, Doddlesworth. Dave Lee Roth, ooh, a classic 80s frontman from the hair metal period and beyond. David Hyde Pierce, Niles from Frasier, that's nice. It's nice to bring a fresh David into this. And David Soul, ooh, he was either Starsky or Hutch from Starsky and Hutch. And he went on to have a singing career similar to what Hasselhoff did, fighting crime and singing songs in a Neil Diamond-esque way. Least favourite Davids. Oh, Armstrong's going the pros and the cons. David Berkowitz. That's son of Sam, serial killer. You're not going to find many people arguing with you there, to be honest, Armstrong. David Gray. Oh, really? Let go of your head. David Hay, bombastic boxer. Yeah, I mean, I've never... I know he used to hustle a lot for fights, but never annoyed me too much. And then two Arsenal players, David Seaman and David Luiz. Someone else was angry that I was including Davids in. Someone said, okay, it's here on some bit of paper. Someone said I should have a separate one that...
Who's your favourite David?
Seaman and Luiz. Yeah, I support Spurs, but I don't hate Arsenal really as much as you're supposed to. I always feel sorry for Seaman from, was it about the 1994 European Cup Winners Cup final where he got lobbed from the halfway line by Naeem and he ended up falling backwards into the back of the goal and had the goal sort of wrapped around him like a big bag of spuds. Aww. Kathleen Quinlan. Hi, David. Had to get in with my favourite Davids. Number one, Michelangelo's David. No David can compete with this big statue. I mean, it depends what you're talking about competing with, you know? It was tennis. I would imagine, unless you hit a very specific shot and also put a racket in his, maybe gaffer taped a racket. But even then, he'd get done for a code violation for having his wanger out. He is hot, though. He is a hot player. Also wouldn't be affected by the heat in the Australian Open. Two, David O'Doherty. Oh, thanks, Kathleen. Three, David Caruso. We've had him before. Actor, NYPD Blue. Four, Larry David. Cannot argue with that. And five, David Nalbandian. We were just talking about tennis. Had to get a tennis player in. Yeah. I mean, I'll say this about David Nalbandian. Now retired, Argentinian. He was a bad boy. Like a lot of these Davids, they're bad boys. And some people take it too far, such as David Berkowitz, son of Sam, serial killer. That's too bad, a bad boy. David Nalbandian, well, he wasn't averse to throwing a averse to throwing a racket. He wasn't averse to once kicking the chair of at the Queen's Tennis pre-Wimbledon warm-up tournament. He was disqualified. He kicked the sign in front of one of those people who says in or out, and he cut their leg. Yeah, but I will say it doesn't take much in tennis to be a bad boy. Like, what's his name is a bad... Kyrgios, the Australian's a bad boy. And then you're like, yeah, but what bad stuff has he actually done? And it's like, oh, he wears socks that are quite long. He got a haircut. Bad boy! Well, on the subject of bad boys, we're gonna take this indoors right now. This is... the rest of this was recorded last night. So many people sent in requests that they wanted my dad to play, and I got him last night, gave him a large glass of wine, and we got through as many as we could, and then we end the whole thing with a big old jigsaw news. Thanks for listening, guys. Doing this every day. Sign up to the Second Captain's World Service to get this every day. Otherwise, free ones on a Monday and a Thursday. And I'll be back tomorrow. Mayhem Friday tomorrow.
Mayhem Friday.
In the meantime, I'll leave you with this. Are you good? Are you going down to do your tripod? Hello and welcome to Thursday Jazz Club. You join us here in the jazz porch. I've got my jazz dad with me. Hello, Father.
Hello, my name is Jim.
How has the week been, Jazz Father?
The week has been swinging.
I think it's better than last week. Do you think we're getting more used to effectively under house arrest here?
I think we are, yeah, definitely.
And the weather, we've had weather this week?
Beautiful.
And we've also had a lot of requests. I don't want you to get too big-headed at the age of 82, 81.
Thanks a lot.
Sorry. But it was something of a sensation, your bit, last week.
Oh, good.
I mean, it's hard to tell because it's a podcast, but people seem to like it.
Good.
So I've got a lot of requests for this week.
Excellent.
And we've fired up old Roland the piano there. And I'm just going to throw a few at you. So we'll start with an old classic. Let's warm us into this. Gillian wants The Girl from Ipanema. South America, Emer Healy wants a Besame Mucho, which is, it's a sadder tune, isn't it, than that?
Kiss me again.
Besame Mucho. She stressed no singing, Dad.
It's in Spanish.
Okay, now we move on to Jim Myers and a good acolyte named Tom Patton. And they would like something from West Side Story. Something, not a song called not Somewhere, but anything from West Side Story. We got Sarah Doyle. She just said Duke Ellington. So could we throw together a couple of your favourite Duke Ellingtons?
Yeah.
Honk, honk. It's about a train. Stomping at the Savoy, but he's stressed he wants a slow version of what's normally a fairly up-tempo tune. Does that make any sense?
Good old Stan, yeah.
Conor O'Brien, a famous folk musician, Dad, he would like It Could Happen to You.
Man with taste.
He does have taste.
This is on my album, Celebrated Album with Louis Stewart.
Oh, wow. From this into Morgan Ryan asked for Fly Me to the Moon. Denver, of all places, wanted Fats Waller's Ain't Misbehavin'. Such sweet form tonight. I mean, this is a big ask, but the most popular part of the podcast is Jigsaw News, where I announce new breakthroughs in the exciting world of pandemic jigsaws.
Yeah.
And so if I could just do Jigsaw News and you could just play a suitable melody that befits.
Is somebody not asked for
Cheek to Cheek? Yes, that's right. Killian asked for Cheek to Cheek.
Good for a jigsaw, wouldn't it?
Okay, we'll combine Cheek to Cheek.
Jigsaw News.
Laura Gibbons. When you flip out the contents of a puzzle for the first time and it's messy, that's a jigs die. Kieran Feerick. The definition when you experience the euphoria of finding a difficult piece only to discover it's not. That's called premature ejaculation. Stop laughing.
Oh, and Barry, a person who does not appreciate or comprehend the magic thrill of jigsaws, a jignoramus. Sean Nicholson. Now, he spotted people who had mixed some jigsaws together. He's referred to that as jigamy. Aaron Devine. That most profound of moments when, after a tragic lull in puzzled momentum, one brave soul makes a new go of it, thereby jigniting energy in the group. Fergus Lacey, a jigsaw's too hard. Too many bastards. A bastard's dad are bits that are tricky to find where they should go. It was at that point that I realised I was going through the midst of a jigsistential crisis. Stephen Fisher, when all you can do is eat, drink and puzz, nothing else matters, you fall into a J-hole. Leah Hogan, a person who is mean and does not help, is called a dicksaw. Kathleen Quinlan, the last piece of a jigsaw needs a term. Yeah, from now on, it's called... It's called... From now on, it's called the Jiggernaut. Yeah. Thanks, Dad.
God bless.
See you next week.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.